We're going to have a few moments of silent prayer, rebound if necessary, and then we'll get started on the second hour. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for another opportunity to study your word, and we pray as we concentrate on your word, the Holy Spirit would instruct us regarding these things that we're about to study. And we lift our prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Okay, I left you with a rhetorical question, if you cherished your time here or not, if you cherish your time studying God's word. You know, we have an amazing opportunity, even with all the crisis, all the issues going on, a place of refuge, and that's what I would call Grace Doctrine Church. It is a place of refuge. It's a place where you can come and get taught filet mignon. I said it earlier. So we need to appreciate every day what we have in the way of Bible doctrine. But we need to be here and study and grow. I'm going to ask you another question. It's a rhetorical question. Don't raise your hand. Don't answer out loud. I'm asking for a friend. How much time do you invest in your spiritual life? 1 hour a week? I know. An hour and 35 minutes because you're here on Sunday. But what about Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday? A lot of days. My friend just wants to know how much time you invest in your spiritual life. These are meant to be challenges to you, for you to think about. Wow, do I cherish my time there? Wow. How much time do I really spend? Wow, I never really learned the problem-solving devices. They're right here. I brought a slide along. It's one that I stole from Joe. Right here they are. Rebound. That's where everything starts right there. Keep short accounts. That gives you number two. Faith rest drill, we discussed that, and we're going to talk about it again in a minute. Grace orientation. Doctrinal orientation, personal sense of destiny. Put your agenda behind and pick up God's agenda. Personal love for God. Your motivational virtue. Here's your functional virtue. Unconditional love for everybody else. But see, we can't do that. We don't like to do that. It's always someone else's fault. You know what? As you study God's word, you can really, as you grow and mature, you can see yourself as you really are by looking in the word of God, because that's the mirror of the word of God will show you who you really are. Because when you look into the mirror of human viewpoint, you don't see yourself as you really are. You see yourself as you think you are. And there's a lot of people out there who think they're something they're not. They need to look at themselves through the mirror of the Word of God and see who they really are. And then you get down here to sharing the happiness of God. And then guess what? Then occupation with Christ. Where are you? Do you have any idea? Do you ever think about it? Do you really care? Goes back to what we talked about over here. Principle, you trust God with your life. But do you trust him with the little things in your life? Like your crisis, or your misfortunes, or your trials? Say, boy, I'm going to heaven. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, do you trust him with the little things in your life? Not so much. You need to be a truth seeker. Those that are interested in truth. Aletheia in the Greek, emeth in the Hebrew. We've had that given to us and taught to us over and over again. But are you a truth seeker or not? Or are you just looking for that feel good once a week? I'm looking for those, a truth seeker, have not left their first love. Revelation 2:4. But I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Are those who have become dull of hearing? Hebrews 5, 11 and 12. Concerning him, Jesus Christ, we have much to say, and it's hard to explain, difficult to teach. We have many doctrines to communicate and hard to explain because you have become dull of hearing. Verse 12, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, but you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. Oh, maybe that's why you don't take in doctrine. Because that's a lot of technical stuff. That's a lot of solid food. That's some big time teaching there. I'd rather go get milk. Milk's not going to carry you when the crisis arrives. Milk is not going to carry you when the misfortune arrives. Or when you watch the news. You need the meat. The writer of Hebrews is describing believers who at one point were anxious to hear the word of God, but over time they faded away. Positive believers who keep growing spiritually get some phenomenal assets. I'll throw out a couple at you. In James 3:2, they are the ones who control their tongue. Ephesians 4:13, they are the ones who grow and mature in knowledge. Hebrews 6:1, they are the ones who go on to advance doctrinally. 2 Corinthians 12:9, they are the ones whose strength is matured in weakness. Philippians 3:15, they are the ones who do not quit. James 1:4, they are the ones who are patient during times of trouble. It's the third time I mentioned patient today. 1 John 2:5, they are the ones who keep Bible doctrine in their soul. And there are many others of these I could share with you, and you probably could come up with a couple on your own. You've got to have positive volition, and that is a consistent attitude wherein believers make clear-cut and confident decisions to study, learn, and apply doctrine without allowing obstacles to get into the way. I told you we were going to touch on positive volition. I know people. You know people. Said, oh, I'm really positive. Yeah, I just don't go there because. I don't do this because. I need to quit looking in to the mirror in the bathroom and start looking into the mirror of the Word of God and say, whew, I need to be there. You've got to have positive volition, and that is a consistent attitude wherein believers make clear-cut and confident decisions to study, learn, and apply doctrine without allowing obstacles to get in the way. Okay, what does the word positive mean? To express clearly and confidently a certain action. 2, a motion or decision that is definite, unyielding, constant, or certain in its action. There's a deep desire or yearning in all believers, especially those new to the faith. Just as a physical body needs food and the soul desires stimulation, the human spirit, which has been created within the believer at the moment of salvation by God the Holy Spirit, also hungers to be filled. You're a new believer. Guess what? When you accept Christ as your Savior, the human spirit is activated. What needs to happen? You need to fill it with the truth of the Word of God. This desire has been placed within the believer by God. It is a very delicate and sensitive desire that can be hindered by arrogance. Again, we go back to that. You're not who you think you are. You are what you think. And can you think your way out of a wet paper bag? Or do you want to tell everybody how much you know but then can't apply it? I'm tired of those people in my life. I don't have time to listen to it. We're on the stretch run. When you're on the stretch run, you don't have time for all this other stuff. You finally say, I'm tired of listening to these people. I'm tired of listening to what they're going to do. And nothing comes out of their mouth has anything to do with Bible doctrine or application of it. Don't have time, nor the energy. It's time to be serious and focused. Can we have a good time? Absolutely. I love to laugh and have a blast. One of the greatest things I enjoy is watching my grandchildren play hockey. And I'm there and I'm yelling, and there people don't even want to be near me. No one in my family does get near me. The quickest way to clear out a spot on the rail is to have me start yelling, because none of the other parents want to be by me. It's a joy. I have a great time. And I act crazy and I go for it. But when it's time to study the Word of God, my grandchildren at my house, they don't come to my office. They know better. This is serious. And what we do is serious. And you know what? We talk about it when they get up and we talk about it when they lay down. Did I do that with my children? No, I was a failure. I admit it. But again, you get on the stretch run, you realize there's no time for fooling around. There's no time for this other garbage that people want to talk about or do. It's about taking in God's word and applying it. And if you're not going to apply it, I just don't have time for it anymore. I want to get together and tell jokes. Yes, I'm in. Having a good time. But don't start gossiping and slandering and putting down other people. I don't have time for that. Unfortunately, not every believer does what is required to have this desire fulfilled. Consistent growth in the spiritual life allows the believer to become stronger and stronger with the capacity to handle the most difficult situations in life. The writer of Psalm 119 had this compelling desire even as he was being dragged into slavery. Psalm 119, 116, or 16. I shall delight in thy statutes. I shall not forget thy word. And in verse 24, he again reveals his positive volition by stating, the testimonies also are my delight. They are my counselors. They, doctrine and testimonies, they're my counselors. Positive volition toward Bible doctrine is the driving desire which motivates believers to overcome all obstacles and center their life in doctrine. It causes the believer to stay occupied with the Word of God in time of disaster. It gives him spiritual energy in time of pressure. Often the different trials and tests of life become a source of frustration for believers, and they just want to run for cover. However, the believer with positive volition can take comfort in Bible doctrine, the Word of God in their soul. They don't run for cover. They take comfort in what's in their soul, and they don't need to call somebody else and draw on their spiritual inventory. The words of Jeremiah shed light on this burning desire in Jeremiah 20, verse 9. But if I say I will not mention him or speak any more in his name, his word is in my heart like a burning fire shut up in my bones. I am weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot. Is that the way it is with you? Is it a burning desire to tell anybody and everybody? When that opportunity arises to give the gospel, are you ready to answer every man, every woman? Or are you running for the hills? Or is it a burning desire when they say, where'd you get all this information? Got it over here on South River Road. Really? Love to have you. I'll even pick you up, bring you over, meet you there. Sometimes we're ashamed because we don't have a big band and an orchestra. And we don't speak their lingo, brother. Yes, brother. I hear it all the time in the prisons. It's amazing. They call me, chaplains, hey, brother, how you doing? Close us in prayer before we hang up. I don't mind. I do it. It's not a problem. But I don't speak their language. I go to these events. The warden's got everybody there, and every denomination known to man's walking up and saying, hey, Brother Watson, hey, Brother Gary. And I say, hey, Fred, hey, George, how you doing? Drives them nuts. We don't speak their lingo. What church are you with? Oh, you wouldn't be interested. That's what I used to say. Now I don't care if they're interested. They need to know. They need to hear the truth. If you're a truth seeker, this would be a place you'd want to come. It's the driving desire which motivates believers to overcome all obstacles and center their life in doctrine. It causes the believer to stay occupied with the Word of God in time of disaster. It gives them spiritual energy in time of pressure. Often the different trials and tests of life become a source of frustration for believers, and they just want to run for cover. However, the believer with positive volition can take comfort in doctrine. I read to you Jeremiah 29. I am weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot. Positive volition toward Bible doctrine is manifested by a burning fire within that cannot be quenched. And then Psalm 42:1 says, as the deer pants at the water brooks, so my soul pants for thee, O God. The question is, why does this desire reside in some but not in others? Well, new believers are in a state of ignorance regarding the thoughts of God. If one is receptive to doctrine, they will grow in grace and knowledge. But if they're indifferent, distracted, ignorance will continue because of this negative volition. And you know, I don't know about you, but I was raised in the Baptist church, I'll just say it. And you know, every Sunday we did Just As I Am 4 or 5 times till people would go up, and you'd go up and you'd say, you know, I want to rededicate my life, or I want to accept Christ. And then when that was it, at my church, it was over. There wasn't, you know, you're coming to training, you, good job, son. That's it. And then maybe you'd go to Wednesday night service or visitation on Thursday. Sunday nights, you didn't always have to go because my dad liked to watch the FBI. And we could stay home and watch that, our Bonanza. Good thing Dolly Parton was on Saturday night, or we would not have went on, if it was on Sunday, we'd have stayed home. But that's what they cared about. Otherwise, they didn't care. No one talked to us about anything. Well, when you lead someone to the Lord, or you know a new believer, what do you need to do? You need to introduce them to this place of refuge where the light is on. However, once a believer has a taste of Bible doctrine, he is not satisfied with a little, must have more. Psalm 63:01, O God, you are my God, earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. There's living water here. Because positive volition toward doctrine is so important and determines the believer's status with God experientially, the Lord has provided everything needed to fulfill this desire. So see, it comes down to desire. Do you desire it or don't you? So there's no excuse. If you don't, you don't. If you do, that's positive volition. God provides the local church as a classroom for the royal family to learn his word. And God provides human volition as the means of integrating doctrine into the life of the believer. These are the provisions that God provides so that Christians may exercise their positive volition and grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Remember, doctrine loves those who diligently seek wisdom. Proverbs 8:17, I, doctrine, love those who love me, and those who diligently seek me will find me. So, a new believer, if they're positive, if they seek, God's going to lead them somewhere, and God may use you. Loving the Lord Jesus Christ motivates us, and it compels a person to go forward in the plan of God in spite of the pressures and distraction that you may face. Again, we all have them. I said earlier, I don't want to know about yours. I got plenty of myself. We all have distractions. We all have challenges. We all have tests. But guess what? It compels a person to go forward in the plan of God in spite of the pressure and distractions you face if you love the Lord Jesus Christ. All Christians have a destiny, and they learn about his destiny through the knowledge gained from the study of the Word of God. Oh, takes us right back here. Personal sense of destiny. Wrong pen. Right there. We all have a destiny. And you learn about this destiny through the knowledge gained from the study of the Word of God. If you don't know problem-solving device number 6, you probably don't even know your destiny yet. And I said loving the Lord Jesus Christ motivates us. It just popped in my head. He says, if you love me, you keep my commandments. You say, well, I don't even know the commandments. You got to be a truth seeker. You got to get here. The more you learn Bible doctrine, the stronger your motivation to learn Bible doctrine becomes, resulting in greater positive volition. You can take a dummy 8th grade dropout like me, and if you get positive and you get serious about the Word of God, the Holy Spirit can teach you. It does not matter what your station in life is or where you come from. You may not speak the best as other people, I know, but it serves me well in the prisons because I'm one of them. And God knew that in eternity past. And when you learn that's your destiny to go there, it's not an insult that I don't speak like people who have got all this education. It does not matter. God uses prepared people. And how do you get prepared? Right here. The greater the positive volition, the more you learn about God's plan, purpose, and will for your life. Positive volition toward Bible doctrine is an active desire to know God. Active desire. Not a passive where you sit at home and say, you know, I'm thinking about watching Fred down in Houston on the television tonight. And I'll nap and eat a roast beef sandwich. No, active desire is getting up, getting ready, and getting to class. Remember, human solutions are no solutions. Divine solutions are the only solutions. And here's the principle. The overruling will of God combined with the directive will of God provides numerous deliverances from adverse circumstances in your life. Psalm 68, 19 and 20. Blessed be the God who daily bears our burdens and God who is our deliverance. God is to us a God of deliverance, and to God belongs escape from death. There you go. As we get ready to wrap up today, some final points. Everyone wants to do something to make their adversity, misfortune, crisis, or tragedy go away, except get to Bible class. Goes back to how much time do you spend? It's going to be hard to do it when you only get an hour a week or 2 hours a week or 3 hours a week. But I would encourage you, if you could start with 15 minutes a day, that's a place to start. I have prisoners, it gets me excited. People say, what excites you about the prisons? Well, one thing, I love it when a prisoner will say to me, Mr. Gary, I just can't concentrate more than 5 minutes a day. Fantastic. And then the next time you see them, it's like, man, I'm doing 15 minutes a day. I am really knocking it out. Yes, you are. So proud of you. And then a year later, you run into them again. They say, you know, I'm almost up to 45 minutes a day of my concentration. It almost brings me to tears. It's like, I'm so excited for them. And recently, it's been earlier this year, I had a young man tell me, you know, I've finally gotten to an hour. He's been studying with us 5 years. But that's slugging it away. That's positive volition. That's a young man who got up every day and said, I'm going to do this. I'm going to get this right. This time, I'm going to change the way I think. So can you start with 5 minutes? That would be the challenge. It works if you're positive. Because 5 will become 10, and it'll become 20, and it'll become 30. Two, every time you have adversity or a crisis, a misfortune, a tragedy, your spiritual life is what overcomes that problem, that crisis, that misfortune. That's what it's designed to do. So you got to use it. You got to use it. You must learn to apply the doctrine in your soul to bad circumstances, to relax and have confidence in God's plan. I think Joe fixed my slide, I think, and added courage to it. They're on top of it. Well, it's not there yet, but courage, right there it is. You got to have the courage to use it. But boy, if you do, it builds some confidence. Whatever happens to both in both life and death is for the glory of God. It's for His glory. 5, you must learn the faith rest drill if you're going to live the Christian life to its fullest, because this is where you pick up a relaxed mental attitude and you do not have to worry. Problem solving device number 3, the faith rest drill. I've had it up there today all for a lot. Faith rest drill. And I gave you a rationale, the plan of God rationale. Today, you don't even have to study it or look it up. Go back in these notes. Exodus 14:13, Moses told the people, fear not, stand still, firm, confident, undismayed. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will work for you today. For the Egyptians you have seen today, you'll never see again. 6, adversity is inevitable, stress is optional. Adversity is what someone or something does to you. Stress is what you do to yourself. Adversity is an outside pressure in life. Stress is an inside pressure of the soul. Right there it is. There's your flat line. How many of you pick up that shield of faith? Can recall any of those promises? How many of you cover a believer who's having a hard time with your shield of faith and pray for him? We covered prayer last time I taught. Do you pray for fellow believers? Do you take this prayer list and really do anything with it? I taught senior prep school one day, and I said, how many people ask you to pray for them? All the kids raised their hand. I said, how many of you remember to pray for them? None of them raised their hand. That's normal. I bet if I did that in here, it'd be the same result. Oh, yeah, I'll pray for you. Yeah. You don't. You're busy. You ever think about right then and there saying, hey, can we go to the side and I'll pray with you right now? How about writing it on your hand so you don't forget it? I have a hot list. You go on the hot list, you get prayed a lot. Cool list has got to be in cycles because there's so many people on it. You don't really want to be on the hot list, though, because that means you're sick. But I'm always praying for those on the hot list, constantly. On the cold list, cycles. You may not get hit, but every third day. But, you know, do you pray for your fellow believers? Do you cover them with the shield of faith? There are over 7,000 promises in the Bible for you to use. Do you use them? Do you have any memorized? It's an integral part of the faith rest drill. Claim a promise. 7, remember afflictions, misfortunes, crisis are an opportunity to exercise your faith. It's an opportunity to demonstrate your confidence in God's plan for your life. Your confidence in it. Psalm 34:19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of all of them. All of them, not some of them. 8, trials, afflictions, misfortunes, crises are going to come along in your life. They have to come along. This is how we grow spiritually. 1 Corinthians 10:13, think it not strange, these trials that you face are common to man. 9, you cannot be fearful and scared, not you, because God's peace is expressed in confident expectation of God's plan for your life. This is what the Lord Jesus Christ said in John 14:27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, and do not be afraid. You know, as I looked at this, and yesterday I was looking through some notes, and take a breather and you listen to the colonel. I don't think Joe would be offended by that. And interesting how things happen. I'm going to read you an excerpt written from 1966 from the colonel as we close. This just, I read yesterday and studied yesterday, and it applies right to what I pulled together today, for today. So bear with me. You have forgotten the essence box. From the essence box, we have the structure of all of God's promises. God is sovereign, righteous, love, eternal life, omnipotence, omnipresence, omniscient, immutability, veracity. How many of you can recite the essence of God? Right there it is. Most of the promises come from love, immutability, and veracity. The structure of every promise that we have for time as well as eternity can be taken from some of the characteristics of the essence box. So in this verse, they have forgotten the essence box. You forget the Lord thy maker. They have forgotten what God is really like. When you forget what God is really like, you become frightened. If you remember what God is really like, you can never be frightened. He is in you. He protects you. He cares for you. And the Jews had it in Isaiah 41:10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not to be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. When you know what God is really like, you're never afraid. You know that he cannot change and that he has loved you with an infinite love and that because of his character, he cannot change. You know since the day you accepted Christ as Savior, he does not bless you on the basis of what you do or what you do not do. He blesses you on the basis of his character, who and what he is. Grace always depends on who and what God is and never who and what we are. What? We are not blessed because we are so lovely or we are so wonderful or so sweet and so on. We are blessed because of what he is always. No one ever earns or deserves anything from God, none of us, and we will never will, and that is great. This is where we get the basis for the third encouragement, the essence box. You forget the Lord God, thy maker. The Lord thy maker is Jesus Christ, for by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are on earth, visible or invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. Jesus Christ is the maker, and if he has the power to stretch out the heavens, billions and billions of light years in space, and if he can make the universe, including the earth, which is mentioned here, he has the ability to handle our problems. Casting all your cares upon him, he cared for you. Leave it there, and you are all set. If he can make the universe, he's not going to stumble over some problem you have. Pretty good. You will live like a slave unless you learn to become stabilized under pressure. When you're in a hopeless situation, that's when you need to think doctrinally and use the word of God in your soul. That's 11. 12, when you have the word of God in your soul and you're growing spiritually, you can say as David did facing Goliath, the battle is the Lord's. Romans 8:31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? 13, remember, we are to do our duty until we die, or the rapture occurs, and then apply what we know without fear and grow in grace. So keep praying for the rapture to occur, but our job is to do our duty. It doesn't matter if it occurs 1 second from now, 1 year from now, or 100 years from now, which means we all die first. We got to do our duty. 14, you must develop a personal sense of destiny. 15, no matter what is going on in our personal lives or our country, we must have confidence that God is always working behind the scenes on our behalf so we will fulfill our mission, complete our duty, and that means blessings for us and glory for God. 16, remember, when you focus on the problem, there is fear. When you focus on solution, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, there is courage. The Bible says if we suffer for the cause of Christ, what does it say? Rejoice. Rejoice. Principle, remember that God's grace and plan are greater than any circumstance you'll ever face. Psalm 31:24, be strong and let your heart take courage, all you who wait on the Lord. And Psalm 91:4, he will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you may take refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a wall. Psalm 27:13-14, I would have despaired unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait, that's an imperative mood. For the Lord be strong, another imperative mood. The commander's intent. And let your heart, really in the Greek, keep on letting. Take courage. Yes, wait. Another command. Another imperative move. Yes, wait for the Lord. 17, the confidence we have is in the Word of God. We know. The more Bible doctrine you have in your soul that you can use is what allows you and me to face the world copacetic, no matter what the circumstances. And now listen to what the Apostle Paul said in Philippians 4:11-13. Not that I speak from need, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with little. I also know how to live in prosperity. In every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. And we really are going to close, but I wrote one other note of encouragement for you, and I'm going to read it, and then we'll close in prayer. Never quit your spiritual life. Nothing can be more truly blessed than a position of hanging in childlike dependence upon God and being entirely content to wait for his time. True, it will involve trial, but the renewed mind learns some of its deepest lessons and enjoys some of its sweetest experiences while waiting on the Lord. And the more pressing the temptation to take ourselves out of his hands, the richer will be the blessing by leaving ourselves there. It is so exceedingly sweet to find ourselves wholly dependent upon one who finds infinite joy in blessing us. It is only those who have tasted, in any little measure, the reality of this wondrous position that at all can appreciate it. The only one who occupied it perfectly and uninterruptedly was the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He was ever dependent on God and utterly rejected every proposal of the enemy to be anything else. I hope this has made sense. I've given it to you straight, the best I could. So let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you for this time to study your word, and we know your word never comes back void. May we take what was taught here today and apply it to our lives and circumstances. And before we close, Father, we ask for your continued blessings on our pastor and his family. We pray you will heal his voice and get him back in the pulpit. It's where we need him. And we lift up these prayers in the name of your anointed Son, our Savior, who is Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We'll sing, Guide Me, O Thy Great Jehovah.